Oi, lads, did you miss out on the Jaren's Outpost Kickstarter and wish you weren't such a big doofus? Well, fear not. Late pledges are now open and they'll be open for a little while. So just head to Kickstarter, search for D&Ds for Nerds or Jaren's Outpost and slam that late pledge button.
Although you see no water for miles around... Fool! They've heard this before! Quiet, you dolt! A wizard supreme has many things to tell about this nightmare Barovia! Wizard supreme? In this place, your pointless titles mean nothing! For the only way to escape is to slay Strahd in the manner of a true warrior, or die in the attempt!
Strahd grabs at his chest as if he is having a heart attack and doubles over.
I rush over and help.
Rahadin looks at you.
It would be best if you left now.
Yes, I'll see myself out.
Pip, you've stepped through the portal. The spectral versions of Keening, Marquillet, and Elainiel stand next to you.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny stands behind you. And you don't know where a Gogash is.
No. Well, I'm walking, because everybody's been very concerned about it.
Is Tiny ethereal or is he also
No, Tiny's physical.
Tiny's physical?
Okay. Yeah. He doesn't have a thing, though.
Yeah, interesting.
He doesn't have a... When he steps into the... Maybe at first you're like, oh, it's because we're not in the ethereal.
Yeah.
But he steps with you into the ethereal and you see he does not gain... Actually, you... Oh, you wouldn't have noticed because you don't want to look behind you.
Yeah.
But you maybe could sense that you don't have the ethereal version of you
when
behind
you. Yeah. When I was in...
When you're in the prison.
Yeah, okay.
When you return to the ethereal, though, you are sure that it is returned.
Yeah, okay.
But Tiny does not seem to have one.
Interesting. Can I get... Because I'm concerned about the... whatever the finger man is, can I get Tiny to be basically, because I want the ghosts behind me so that I can protect them.
Mm-hmm.
And Tiny seems, does Tiny look like they are not a fighter of the class, but like as in, do they look combat ready?
Are they a combatant?
Also quite like the Pip's not really clear why we're getting Tiny out of the cage, but he just knows we had to do it.
So. And like, is that the thing that stopped the... I don't know what's going on.
I don't really know. Pip doesn't really know how far the Limic connects to Tiny, but Pip's like, that's whatever. In this situation, I'm a cog in a machine.
Hey.
So it's of no, that's for the Keenings of the world to figure out.
Mm-hmm.
Tiny, as you step through, Tiny is unaware that there is, or what necessarily, what danger you might, or you assume, you don't, you assume he doesn't know, but he, you see, kind of like tightens and bristles, and it's like you can hear a corded muscle tightening underneath his shell. Yeah, okay. Tiny seems quite strong.
Cool, great. Okay.
As I
like to get Tiny, I guess actually it's probably good to have somebody on either end of this party that can fight.
Mm-hmm.
So I say to Tiny over my shoulder, I go, look, I don't know, I mean, maybe, you know, I don't know what you know, but... do you have like a magical weapon of any kind, Tiny?
Tiny looks at you and says and does nothing for a moment. And then you hear that like buzzing noise. Oh. And inside your head, like 1,000 ants talking, you hear, yes.
Okay, great. All right. Now stay behind me and we're going to try and make, I don't know where a Gogash is going, but let's just keep walking.
All right. You make your way downstairs.
Mm-hmm.
And you take a point of cold damage.
Oh, that's right. It's freezing. Fuck.
That freaking bitch. Agogia.
She's such a bitch, dude. Didn't give me his coat.
I know. What
he
the
doesn't
heck?
Need it.
Keening from behind you says,
I don't know where it's gonna be, but if it strikes us, it'll battle us around.
Right.
It didn't seem to do any damage to us in spectral form.
Yeah.
But it can stop us from moving around.
Okay.
You, I imagine, will take quite a bit of damage, though, Pippi.
Yeah, I know, hon. I know. I will. That's fine. I'll turn around to him. And, like, I've died, nearly died so many times. All of the bruises on my face, every cut, every... cracked tooth in my mouth. I've been taking quite a lot of damage recently. It's just, you know, more for the pile. Then I'll turn back around and keep stalking.
All right. You. Oh, get a good boy card.
Yes. Oh, nice.
What'd you get?
I regain hit points equal to 1d10 plus my level.
Might as well use that now.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah, I would love that. Yeah, I reckon.
3 plus your level, you regain 13 hit points.
God damn, that's like fucking nothing. Whatever, that's one hit.
So much.
I've regained a hit. I'll take it, dude.
All right. You're on 29 hit points.
Yes.
Also.
Nice. Hmm? Nice.
Yeah, it's yeah. good.
Also, you catch sight of a Gogash as he slips from room to room, making your way through the place. You could tell that he's shadowing you, but he seems to be keeping stealthed for some reason. You don't know what, although presumably he's keeping... Presumably, whatever. You could tell he's keeping stealth not just from you, but from something else.
Yeah,
he appears to be hiding as well.
That's concerning.
Mm.
Do you have any idea, I say, of what the fuck it is?
Keening, looking at you, says, I think it might be something from the cooled festening, he says. You know what the cooled festening is.
Yeah.
It is within the Hus pantheon, Husfirma Husgra.
Yeah.
The cooled festening is the domain of Lemminkainen, the god of winter.
Okay.
Cooled festening is a very harsh and awful place that exists kind of on the North Pole, but not of the North Pole. So the material realm has a North Pole.
Yeah.
And the cooled festening is in some ways it depends how you look at the cosmology.
Right, yeah. No, I get it. It's like how, like, you got the moon and the moon.
Yeah.
You know, you got the moon you can go to with NASA, and then you got the moon that makes a werewolf become a man become a wolf.
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. I'm across it.
To some people, the cooled festening is like the idea of the North Pole and not a physical place.
Gotcha.
To some people, if you go north and you get to the North Pole, but you don't meet Lemminkainen, people will be like, you didn't go to the North Pole. Yeah, you went to a place called the North Pole, but you didn't go to the North Pole.
Yeah, yeah.
The cooled festening is a very... Lemminkainen is an evil god.
Okay.
He is a very harsh, as winter is often seen. He's a very harsh person, a harsh god, and the cooled festening is very, like, survival of the fittest.
Sure, okay.
So anything that is, quote-unquote, of the cooled festening is not just a terrible monster, but it is a powerful terrible monster. You get the impression there is one of two ways that this entity could be here. Either this place is so cold that in the ethereal it has torn open a hole to the cooled festening, or just when a place gets cold enough, maybe these things show up.
Yeah, okay. I was gonna ask how peculiar it is that it's out here, but there's a couple of explanations,
unusual. Clearly. Yeah, it's not unusual. Yeah. It's just how did it get here, I guess.
Okay, cool.
It is entirely... Most things from the cooled festening are also intelligent. You're aware of that. You rolled pretty high. You think there is a chance that you could reason with this entity.
Okay, that's interesting. Well, hopefully we can just ignore it, but somehow I doubt that. As we're, like, stalking through the house, I'm like, do you have any advice, Keening, for, like, what to do if we come across it? You know, this feels like a paltry thing to ask, but should I change my crossbow to firing firebolts?
In my experience, I would recommend neither cold nor fire. It's likely to be immune to cold, but with fire, it'll either be immune or just resistant.
Yeah, okay, righto. Fair enough.
The cooled festening resists flames.
Yeah, hard to light a fire in sub 50 degrees, for sure. Okay. Why didn't it attack me, though? That's interesting. Do I think that's abnormal now that I have some idea of what it might be? That it just watched me?
Well, it probably... Well, you imagine, it would... You imagine... Actually, if it didn't attack you, you're very confident it's intelligent. It quite clearly wanted you to come through, but you're not sure why.
It's very weird. Okay. I'd like to, just for safety, I'm going to load the last two.
Oh, shit. Wait. I'm so sorry. You rolled really high. Did you get a description of it as well?
Yes. Yeah, I think
old
so.
Man with like a hood and long fingers. Look, hey, that is how they describe Lemon Kanan.
Oh. Okay. It might be the big man himself.
Hey, you've actually, you've been to the North Pole, you could say.
That's true. I could say I could tell if I meet anyone from Huss. I'll let them know. Okay. Look, we'll just keep moving.
Okay.
And he avoided me once before. You know, maybe there's some reason for that.
You get to. It is a doorway to a long hallway which ends at the front door.
Okay.
Well, where the front door was.
Yeah.
That doorway, one spidery long hand, another spidery long hand, and then the face, torso, body, hooded robes of, you think, maybe Lemon Kanan himself, the god of winter.
Okay. Is he just still at the end of the hallway?
Yeah, he stands in the doorway before that corridor.
We're just passing through, I say. You know, we've got no business with you, you've got no business with us.
But Lemon Kanan speaks. Yeah. We do have business.
I don't think that's true.
You took something out of the cage.
Oh. Okay. Right?
I want you to put something back in.
We need Tiny for some reason, so we can't put him back.
Something must exist in the cage. Someone must exist in the cage. I want you to put Father Limick back in its cage.
Well, I mean, in that, our goals are aligned. So that's actually, I like to turn back to the ghosts. Good.
Keening like nods.
Huh? Right? So yeah, I turn back to, what's his name? Lemon Kanan?
Lemon Kanan.
I turn back to Lemon Kanan. Yeah, so I
think Lemon Kanan.
Lemon Kanan. Yeah.
I think it's a forward. So Lemon Kanan.
Don't insult a god, Jack.
I think that's something we can do. I mean, I think we're going to do that anyway. And because of that, I say, taking another step forward, perhaps we don't make this some kind of official deal because, you know, that's the kind of thing that could backfire on both of us. We make it a gentleman's agreement.
Lemon Kanan smiles. A gentleman's agreement it is.
Exactly. We're just a couple of gentlemen in the ethereal realm. Agreement made.
Father Lemick
thinks
he controls the snow.
Right.
I control the snow.
Absolutely, big guy.
Shh. I'm not looking for input.
Just give him a thumbs up.
Father Lemick is fighting your friends as we speak.
Oh, right.
If you can trick him back here, I can put him back in his cage. We both want this.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you how to do this. So, he's not going to willingly come into the ethereal.
Well, of course.
But you can, there is a spell to bring him to my domain. This spell will take you out of the Shadowfell. This puts me at odds with many of the entities you encountered in the Amber Temple. I don't want to fight the entities in the Amber Temple.
Of course.
So in exchange for helping you put Father Limick back in his place, you are going to willingly walk back into Barovia.
Right. And just so we're clear, you know, the first one sounded like a gentleman's agreement. This one doesn't sound so much.
No, this is a gentleman's agreement that you're making with a god. Don't forget that.
How could I? Pip, I think I pause a little too long.
Yeah.
Then immediately feeling guilty, I glance back at the ghosts. I'm not going to. Of course I'll come back. And then I turn back to Lemon Kanan. You got yourself a deal.
All right. Don't be surprised when this happens. I am going to imbue you with the power of a spell. This spell will take you and one creature you are grappling
okay
into the material. where I put you in the material will be right next to my domain. You will need to grapple Father Lemek and then shove him into the portal. And then, from the material, you will walk.
Trot on back into Barovia.
It's a deal. A gentleman's agreement.
A gentleman's agreement. I turn back to the ghosts. A gentleman's agreement.
They're giving you some serious fucking looks, Pip.
It's a gentleman's agreement.
It's a gentleman's agreement. With a god, I turn back to Lemon Kanan. All right.
Fantastic.
Yeah, it really is.
You have to shake hands in a gentleman's agreement?
Or is just
a curt nod?
A curt nod. It's an understanding.
An understanding, I think.
Yeah.
The gentleman's agreement is just a nod.
Okay.
Okay, Pip Mandarin. Gentleman monster hunter. A gentleman's agreement. Would you like to return to Barovia?
Yeah.
Where would you like to be placed in Barovia?
I turn back to everybody else in the party. Dealer's choice.
They look at each other, and Keening says, maybe outside the Burgermasters.
Well, you heard the man. Outside the Burgermasters.
Okay. With your friends who are still in the material as well, I take it? Everyone nods, I assume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Lemon Kanan sticks out his hand. A gentleman's agreement.
Is this going to freeze my hand off?
No.
Okay, just checking. A gentleman's agreement.
His long, spidery fingers wrap around yours, Pip, and then you, Keening, Elaniel, Marquillet, Tiny, Danica, Irwin, who else am I? Yeah. Iona.
Iona.
All of you.
Cribbit.
Yeah, Cribbit.
A Gogash. A Gogash. All of you are... You don't feel... the transition between realities. You are just standing outside the Burgermasters as if you had always been standing there.
Imagine my hands out, like, shaking nothing.
Pip, you don't know how you know, but you just feel inside you. You feel this charge. Lemon Kanan's spell to take you to the material.
Was that stupid? I say to Keening.
Keening, all right, describe this gesture.
A pained expression.
A what pained would, look yeah. like, buddy.
What you would call a pained expression. Although, look, hey, I know Hector's not there, but he'd be like hey.
I'm sure he'd be pleased.
You had to do what you had to do.
Yeah.
It's a god.
Yeah, what else? We can't kill it.
Keening gives you that expression.
Yeah.
Pip, and then he turns and says, Pippi, look, I wouldn't have made that deal, but I understand the logic behind it.
Gentleman's agreement, Keening.
Let's not use the term deal.
Father, his face?
Yeah.
He's something to be reckoned with. So I guess while I wouldn't have made that deal, I guess I can't blame you for it either.
I gotta hope that's my last one, you know? I'm not the deal-making type normally. You know that.
Yeah, it was a gentleman's agreement.
that's what I'm thinking.
Really rubbed off on you, man. Yeah. It's nice to see that.
All right.
You take a moment to explain to everyone who's just suddenly here. You can see Danica, Irwin, Iona, and Cribbit. You can see they bear the marks of some combat.
Yeah.
It looks like they just kind of maybe just barely were holding on before. You get the impression that the deal that you just made might have saved a life.
Okay. Well, hey, that's good. I'll take it, dude.
See? Pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
Feels nice.
Once you've explained the situation, Irwin is the first to say, how do we get the entity to come meet us here? Everyone's silent for a moment. And then Keening says, Father Lemek, Father Lemek, Father Lemek. You hear a screaming noise from deeper in Valakai. Hector, when you are sent out of Strahd's chambers, what is your first move? Where do you go? What do you do?
So, I guess I should probably check in on Gretchen.
Good idea.
I understand there's a lot of things happening at the moment. Like, I kind of... Yeah, look, to be honest, first protocol, I want to check in on Gretchen.
How's it look?
Let's go with highs.
Highs?
Okay.
You haven't even rolled yet.
Wait, you see the future? Motherfucking Nostradamus over here?
God damn
like
it.
Nostradamus.
Okay. We're getting rude, are we?
I'm excited to get hostile.
Why? When it's my turn. He's rolling for me.
I saw Nostradamus lying there on the table and I had to pick it up.
Okay. I feel like I've heard Nostradamus before.
Well, it wasn't even worth it. I'm copying. And I never want to be accused of copying in my life, okay?
I'm not a hack.
I'm not a hack. I'm not a copier.
Sure.
Everything I say is original and new.
As you're making your way back down to, I assume, the party? That's the last time
I saw Gretchen, so I'll head down.
As you make your way back down to the party, you have a random encounter.
Whoa, in Strahd's Castle.
Yeah, cool. I have a random encounter table for Strahd's Castle.
Okay.
You turn a corner and you find a maid and a butler hidden in one of the alcoves. As soon as you step through, Hector, it takes you too long to notice. By the time you clock what's happening,
mm-hmm.
they've already separated. You don't get a good look at either one of them. But as they walk purposely in different directions, as this happens, you hear both of them kind of like giggling to themselves.
This does not concern me at all.
It's truly not your business.
But also at the same time, there's like these weird little lovers' trysts that are happening in the monster's castle.
Yeah.
So I was initially like, this does not concern me. That is so strange. Everything that's like, okay, yep, that doesn't concern me at all. I just keep... I'm like, mm-hmm.
A moment later,
mm-hmm.
you're walking down the same corridor, and a moment later... Another maid turns a corner and you can see. All right, this time you notice something. You notice it. This time, a maid turns a corner. It's an entirely different person from the other two that you just noticed, but you can see that there's a bit of concern. And when I say a searching expression, I mean she is like literally looking around. She walks past you as if you're not there.
Okay. She doesn't engage with me.
Doesn't engage with you, no. You get the impression.
Are you looking for somebody?
She turns. She stops, turns, and is as if she's just seen you. Did you spot a man and a woman?
Describe them.
You didn't get a good look at either mm-hmm. of the people, but she describes a woman with mousy hairs and an quote-unquote an expression to match.
Mm-hmm.
She seems, when she describes mm-hmm. the woman, she seems a bit like...
Disparaging?
Yeah, disparaging would be the correct term. And then she describes a man, maybe slightly balding, a mustache.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And when she describes him, she says, she says something like, and a damn mustache.
Uh-huh.
She seems mad when she describes the man.
Okay, God. Now
you don't know for sure, but that could have been both of them.
Yeah. This is very, does not concern me, mm-hmm. but, it's piqued Hector's interest a little bit too much, but he knows there's more important things right now. There's so much more important things right now for him.
You don't need to worry about court trysts.
I believe I saw the man. I walk past. I don't describe the tryst. I want to gloss over anything to be like, she went that way, he went, I saw her going this way, and I think I passed the man, and he was going this way.
Yeah, that's a good
That's
idea.
The thing that I want to try and say.
Sure.
To be like, I don't want to be involved
in
this.
You don't want
to However,
get involved in the drama.
I'm going to let her know where they may be heading towards.
Yeah. And you don't want to get involved in the drama, but by absolute definition, you are now.
But I want to be
Are you hiding the fact that they started both of their trajectories in the same location?
That's tricky to do.
Am I hiding that? She seems mad.
Yeah.
She seems furious.
Well, it means nothing to me. No, I don't try and hide that.
Yeah.
All right. You watch very quickly as she mentally does the calculation of the direction you said both of them are moving in, and you watch mentally as she draws the line backwards to the same location,
mm-hmm.
and then she swears very loudly, has a moment of hesitation, and then runs after the man.
Is that, who are they to? Okay, you have, good luck. Hope to hear about that later. keep walking. Towards the party.
Yeah, I mean, wait, it's getting out of the, it's just some stuff going on in the castle.
It's just like
the
more
personal
of a,
lives of well, Strahd's servants.
It's curious.
Though. Yeah, well, that's fair.
Both Zammit and
you.
Yes.
You get to the grand entrance hall mm-hmm. where you saw those guards drinking earlier. Mm-hmm. You can see they're still the same guards from before are still sitting there. Their tankards are a little bit lighter mm-hmm. now, but not empty. And then you see and also hear the doors to the great hall where the party is happening are open and light and laughter is spilling out.
I guess I just like nod my head to mm-hmm. the guard. Are they there just like stopping anyone from entering, or are they just kind of there for show?
They're just there. Well, yeah. They're not there for show, but you're allowed
like,
in the party.
You know what I mean? Are they there? Are they standing to attention, or are they just like, hey, what's going on?
They're pretty relaxed. Yeah, they're not standing to attention.
So I just nod, wave, and
One of them gives you like a little cheers with their cup as you walk past.
Yeah, yes, cheers. Is the doors open or is that?
Yeah, they're open. Yeah.
Okay. I'll just head on in and start scanning for Gretchen.
Stepping in. You see Gretchen is dancing with some of the ambassadors, the Candanese ambassadors that you saw before.
Right.
Gretchen's dancing with some of them. You can see there it's not identical, but she seems to, of all the people dancing here, she seems to understand the dance that they are doing the most.
Huh. That's kind of cool. Okay. Well, I guess I wait on the sidelines, as it were, to see if I can get one catch your eye, or just basically catch your eye to be like a very, very quick conversation just to kind of just see how she's going.
She
so I'll just wait.
After a little bit, she catches your eye as well, and then very sweaty, she sits down next to you.
I just wanted to check in to see how you're going.
She, when she speaks, she's slurring her words.
Going well.
Right now, doing well. I'm doing well. You know what?
Yes.
This, if Barovia was only this, I'd be pretty happy, you know?
I think a lot of people would be very happy if this and only this was Barovia.
You, have a nice chat?
In a way. We had a conversation. We can talk about it later.
You had the conversation? I didn't realize you didn't know.
Sorry, what?
When a mommy and a daddy love each other very much.
Right. Not.
Gretchen's tanked.
Right.
A member of the serving staff comes by and Gretchen swings around and grabs. It's imagine a platter with a bunch of wine glasses and a big bottle of wine to serve. She grabs not a glass but the bottle.
I was like, I assume it has been a long time since you've been able to let your hair down, as it were.
Not since ever, actually. I was pretty young, she says. And as she says that, she gestures a little bit and knocks the bottle that she just grabbed over. It spills out onto the table.
Try and grab it as quick as I could. Just reflexes. Whoop.
I guess I'll make that a dex saving throw. I'll say you successfully grabbed the bottle before too much spills.
Yes.
I was pretty young when I started my training with Gulliver. After that,
can I flag down a waiter or like a staff member while this is all happening? And
the staff member immediately looks at the two of you.
And not so she can hear this, just as like, can you bring me a bottle of 3/4 water, a quarter?
Good idea.
Just a three. Just like and basically like any time that Gretchen is wanting some wine, just make sure she's having a diluted.
Sure. The person looks between the two of you and nods in understanding.
Thank you. So Gulliver, yes.
Then after that, you know, training was pretty intense. That I didn't get out much. The place where we, the place where we trained was remote, not any towns nearby. And then after that.
Yes, of course. I want to be like maybe piling up a plate, getting some bread,
Let's soak some of that wine up.
Have some food, have a sandwich.
The night I squired for, she starts eating some bread as well, completely oblivious to what you're doing. She explains like. Point after point, her entire life, pretty much, and how she hasn't. She started her training so young that she wouldn't have really had a chance to drink.
Yeah, of course.
And then during training, she didn't get any chance to drink. Mm-hmm. And then after training as she was squiring. She's the knights that she would squire for very typically were
teetotalers.
Teetotalers who wouldn't drink and wouldn't let her drink. And then she gets to about the point where she starts talking about how much she loves the king's, sorry, not the king's trail, that's before her time, how much she loves coastal trails.
Mm-hmm.
And when she gets to that, she stops for a brief moment and you know what's about to happen.
I quickly grab some sort of bucket, like a bowl, yeah. like a fruit bowl that yeah. I quickly just like grab, upturn, whoop. Patting her on the back. Okay, yeah, this will happen, unfortunately. Yep, it happened a bit more quicker than I assumed it was going to happen. I was going to say, just enjoy your night, and tomorrow you'll understand a new aspect of life. That is okay. Okay. It's okay. All right.
Piran sits down at the table opposite you.
Oh.
Oh, okay.
I was like, Piran?
He would probably be wearing makeup to make himself look.
The stop there was not me questioning if it was Piran. It was to be like, am I calling him Piran or am I calling him something else? Mr. Spy. No, to be like, yeah, be like.
You don't actually know my name.
Of course I
you can
not.
See he's wearing makeup. It's a bit possibly, very mm-hmm. plausibly, part of your surprise is that he doesn't look like a tiefling. He looks like an elf.
Whoa. Oh, right, what did he do with his horns? Are they under hair?
He's probably wearing a hat.
Ah, or
magic. Big hat.
He didn't have that big horns.
Okay. I was imagining like a gazelle's horns. Mm. And then I was imagining he sits down in a 10-gallon hat.
Yeah.
Piran's horns are only about, the listener can't see that, but his Piran's horns are,
A couple inches?
I don't know how long an inch is, but like 15 centimeters at most.
Okay.
Do they curl? Or
yeah,
are they
slightly. Okay. They curl backwards slightly.
Oh, so it's kind of like close to his head.
Yeah.
So you could easily cover with a hat or a nice and interesting toupee.
Yes, a bouffant.
Maybe slightly too big for a toupee, but definitely a hat covers them. You actually don't know me, yes. I am
Hector, yes, nice to meet you.
You can call me Mr. Not a Spy if you'd like, though.
Mr. Not a Spy.
I don't think anyone's really listening.
No, I don't think they are.
So long as our conversation looks happy and light, he says. Yes. He reaches across the
table. All within, just like the back. Pat it on the back, yes.
Leaning across the table.
Does she have long hair?
Sorry?
Sorry, does Gretchen have long
hair?
No,
she has very short crocs.
Okay, cool. Yeah. So you're holding it back.
It's like buzz cut short.
It's like padding it. It's okay. Excuse me, yes. Can you get a like a towelette and just like of ice water? Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And some ice. Do we have ice? Do I have ice? Do I know what ice is? I would know what ice
you
know what is.
Ice can be fetched for you,
Right. And some ice. Yes, thank you very much.
While you're talking to the server, Piran does a big, loud, fake laugh. An excellent point.
Very, very good at this, aren't you? I guess this...
It works in a big party. Yes. Here's the trick. It doesn't fucking matter. No one's really listening.
This is very... I get... This is not what I expected.
Yeah, it's kind of fucked up. It Piran's is very, pouring both of you a drink.
Yeah, thank you very much. Cheers.
Do you think there's ghosts? Yes. Do you think that ghosts are scared of parties, maybe?
I believe, ghosts would be very scared of parties. If there were ghosts, I think they would have been exorcised a long time ago.
Oh, God, I hope so. Anyway.
Yes?
I heard you had a little chat with Strahd. Also, where did you go for 3 fucking months?
3 months. Well, I kind of gesture to my appearance. And I go...
I'll ask about that in a minute.
I fell into a little bit of a spot of bother.
Yes.
So, did you know that there are other dark places?
I'm vaguely aware. Yes.
Oh, right. Well, fill you in a little bit here. Oh, thank you very much. Here, let me just... Gretchen, you just want to just... I'm just going to put this on the back of your neck. It's going to be very cold. It's okay. So, there is... I don't know exactly the number that is surrounding Barovia, but...
I know of one to the west. There were a lot of traders would come through to Kutri. Well,
there's
some.
There's a few different ones. There's one which I happen to enjoy a little bit of the time there. It's a place called Bocha. Is where all the Franken guys are from.
He laughs at Franken guys. That one sounds genuine.
So the Strahd equivalent, Ivana Boritsi.
Strahd equivalent? Yes. Pirin looks like he's about to keel over and die.
I guess the person who is in charge of that realm, from what I can gather.
Cool.
Yeah. So she's in charge of that realm, and they are, from what I can gather, potentially land skirmishes or skirmishes to get land or to increase their influence. And I believe Barovia is a wanted entity from a few of the others. And I do not think the others really kind of care what Ivana is doing. But she is even invading soon. She has an army. I'm getting maybe ahead.
Pirin
anyway,
downs his wine glass, sets it down.
So she experimented on me. Hence all of this, I believe. I point to an eye and my jaw and like a little bit of the, like kind of like the trace from like where the head is around an eye to like the middle of the jaw. And then I kind of like gesture maybe to like a little bit of the spine, you know, I guess the chest area or spine, wherever it was remaining. I'm like, maybe one of the arms, I forget exactly. This is Hector. Everything else, I shrug.
Pirin downs his wine, sets the glass down. It really is a case of the more things change, the more they stay the same, I suppose.
I mean,
not with you. That sounds fucking horrific.
Oh, it was very, very, very horrific. Also, I ran into Pip's sister.
His what?
Sister. She's a kobold. Tiny little thing.
She's a kobold. I didn't know lizard folk did that shit.
Yeah.
Dragonborn. First of all, Pirin, how little attention are you paying?
Like, you know how he was raised in an
orphanage? Oh, like a spiritual sister.
I guess,
right.
Well, they're both raised the Gregory. Anyway.
I get that, yes.
She's
right,
trapped in Borcha. So the way she does it, that's Pip's sister. So the way there's a device that is attached to the heart. She ripped mine out. But that is how it is. Pip's sister ripped mine out. Not. It has been a long 3 months.
I could imagine.
So, Pip's sister is there. They're under the control of Ivana. Ivana seems to be ruling her realm a little bit more iron fisty. Then Strahd is
more iron fisty than this shit.
Yes, I don't think they have a dinner
party. I've seen wealth extraction before in my life, but this is insane.
So Ivana, she takes everyone apart and puts them back together, and then she installs some sort of device. I believe that the engineer, I knew his name, it's gone. The engineer, he's from there. I think he escaped there to come here. He might actually know more about it than we do.
Yes, but unfortunately you'd need to talk to him to find out about it.
Yes. It might be a very actually an easy conversation. Just we have to know the right questions. There's devices that she has. Everyone seems to have them. I don't know how to get rid of them. Mine was torn from me. A god intervened, I think. Something intervened.
I forget. Who said it first, Hector? But you really are dripping with destiny, aren't you?
Apparently so. So she is invading soon. I don't know when. She has amassed an army. She also has sort of like an invisible wind servant. That if we know how to free him, I think he might be a useful ally.
Oh, it's like sentient?
Yes.
Invisible?
Yes.
An invisible stalker. I know about
yes.
them.
Yes, so yeah. He's... he doesn't seem to be happy about being in
No,
service.
They hate it when you do that.
So she seems to be trapped there.
King Goldcrest used to have like a small personal army of them.
You're kidding me.
No, I shit you not. The only reason he ever had a spy agency is because, well, he needed someone whose very existence on the material wasn't an affront to their existence.
It would explain a few of the lost battles.
Right. I could free one of those.
You can?
Yeah.
Oh, that could be very useful.
He taps his chest where you have seen him hide, and I think he's noticed you, noticed you noticing him doing this. He's got like a little book that he keeps very literally and figuratively close to his chest. Uh-huh. Yes, I know a little ditty of a spell that releases invisible stalkers. Huh. Yes, I kept it as kind of like a insurance policy, I suppose, against King Goldcrest, should he ever deign to have me killed.
Right, well, that'd be very useful. I think this creature would be very good to have on our side. Great. So where did you were trailing me? Where did you lose the trail?
Do you remember? It was 3 months ago, so you might not. But do you remember when you were flying and you had just escaped?
Right.
And then you decided that actually being captured was preferable? That's when I lost
I
you.
Keep rubbing... Well, she was... I needed... Someone had to.
Well, of course, she is important, he says.
You're such a bitch, Karen. You're such a bitch.
He is. She's important to somebody.
Can I tell you, a monk told me this story once. And it's a story about another monk, I assume. But after a hurricane, this man, a fisherman, walking along the beach, inspecting all the damage to the boats and whatnot, sees a monk walking on the same beach, and the monk is picking up starfish and throwing them back in the sea. And the fisherman says, "My dear friend, what are you doing? You can't save them all. It doesn't matter." And the monk turns back and says, "Lol. It doesn't matter. Why did you do that?"
I don't know, Piran, but I made a promise to look after her. And I felt that she needed somebody to look after her.
Well,
and I don't know. You save one person, you save the world, you know?
I think I've just explained to you I don't. But look, hey, you're here.
Yes. So, right. So that's happening, by the by. So Strahd, it seems to be, Strahd has the reason why everybody is here, all the people who are from different realms, heroes, adventurers. It seems that he's wanting to give up his mantle. And I think everything is a test.
Cool. Sorry, you also said something about an invading army. Is that a problem?
That is a problem.
Is that... And Piran, when he says this, you can tell he's like worried what... He's worried he already knows the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Is that our problem?
Yes. Do you really... I gestured to myself. She had never seen an Esmir before. I mentioned that we were almost the opposite of a tiefling. She had never seen a tiefling before. She was extremely curious about my, I guess, physiology.
Okay, look, hey, you sold me now. I was very against this before, but you have sold me on this.
Say what...
Make it personal.
You found a subject that truly matters to me, myself.
Yes, so say what you will about, I guess, this particular realm we are in and the person in charge. At least he has let us all keep our bodies intact. So that's the invading army is coming, and... I give him the number that I saw, like how large it was.
Thousands.
And I'm like, and that is marching on to the Barovia.
Well, if that's our problem, I suppose we've kind of, in a way, been solving it since day one.
Yes.
You have friends.
Yes. So, I have friends. We have friends. I need to contact them somehow. Strahd, speaking of our friends, you remember the Tarpos wanted to cleanse lodestones?
Yes. She's been a busy little bee, actually.
Yes.
Speaking of friends that you can call upon.
Yes. Oh, right.
Druids, under her control now.
Well, that is useful.
Mm.
That's great to hear. Her destroying or cleansing the lodestones, whatever is happening at the moment, that is weakening Strahd. I believe if that was not happening, I think Strahd could probably have taken on
army. Are you upset that we're, or do you think we shouldn't have cleansed the lodestones? Because that's really something Pip was scared of.
No, it's just more because that is happening. Strahd is becoming weaker, which is...
our goal from the beginning.
But now that I'm thinking it out loud, is maybe how the lines between here and Borcha could be getting weaker.
That is true.
So now that I was... So initially, I was thinking that perhaps he could have taken on this because he is a very powerful individual. Mm. He could at least have... I always thought maybe weakening means that we now have to organize a bit more of an army. But now I'm realizing them doing this is actually making perhaps the fence line, shall we say, weaker, which is really good to hear.
It's really cool that we are fucked.
So.
And we don't even have your original dick to be fucked with.
But you're right, we have friends.
We have friends, and as someone who has competed against them for quite a lot of my lifetime, can I say, in addition to the friends that we already have, a good friend to make, and that we could make it to this party potentially, is the Candanese army.
Yes, I was thinking upon that.
They're pretty keen to negotiate with Strahd. And if Strahd's willing to make some very minor trade concessions, we might be able to...
I think I have something they want.
Okay.
Piran, in your travels, have you ever come across anybody that bleeds blue?
Pip, Kinning calls out, Father Lermak, Father Lermak, Father Lermak. And from the dead center of town...
Terrible noise.
You see as one... huge, flabby, fleshy arm claws its way halfway across town. And then another one.
Yeah, don't really know how I'm meant to grapple that.
And then a huge mass of flesh begins dragging itself down Main Street.
Okay.
Father Lermak drags himself through the city towards you.
Okay. Can I see any feasible way to grapple this?
I mean, it would be actually pretty easy to grab.
I guess I could grab.
A lot to grab.
Yeah, I couldn't. I guess I could just get any bit, really. Yeah. And then I've got the spell in me, so I just need to shove. Okay, I do something that Pip has very rarely done in his life, and I move forward instead of backward.
We're going to go to initiative.
Oh my god.
Pip, as you charge forwards, you can see blobs of flesh growing like watching cancer grow in on a high-speed camera.
Yeah.
You watch globules of Father Lermak grow and then, still attached to his body, sprout wings and begin flapping as they stretch like a Stretch Armstrong until, with a terrible snapping sound, Father Lemmick's equivalent of angels begin soaring above him.
Okay.
At the same time, from his hands, more little arms begin stretching out and more cancerous growths begin developing into strange bipedal creatures. Not bipedal. What's the one on four legs?
Quadrupedal?
Quadrupedal. Quadrupedal creatures drag themselves out of his flesh and land on the ground. All arms, they begin sprinting alongside him.
Knowing, obviously, that I have no... There's no entry in Emmanuel for Father Lermak, but using my many years as a monster hunter, can I try and, in my estimate, figure out the best way to defeat these creatures? Try and, with a glance, as I'm rushing toward Father Lermak, to help my allies, who will presumably just be fighting these guys while I grapple with the big guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, to try and discern weaknesses or immunities or, you know, that kind of thing. Vulnerabilities.
You really wish you had Hector here right
yeah.
now.
Yeah. I think the whole time Pip's running forward, he's thinking, this isn't even really my fight.
You have no concept of what these entities are or their weaknesses or strengths. You're going to have to find out through play.
Okay. Is it obvious enough that my I wouldn't need to call this out to my companions? Mm. They can see that this is happening.
Yeah, they're very... Yeah, okay. you hear Iona just stifling a wretch.
Yeah, okay, okay.
So, in total, about 10 flying ones sprout off and begin flying towards you, and the same number of crawling ones begin sprinting towards you.
Okay.
They move at a faster speed to Father Lemic. They're going to reach you pretty much immediately, okay, whereas Father Lemic is going to take a couple rounds to arrive.
All right.
So you, I mean, you can continue to charge forwards if you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're not sure if these entities are going to follow you,
yeah,
or attack or kind of focus on your friends. You have no idea what their tactic is going to be. Yeah.
Okay.
You can, if you want, hold your ground with your allies and wait for Father Lemic to come to you, which keeps you together as a group.
Yeah.
Or you can sprint forwards, dangerous, but it means that you get to grapple Lemic faster.
Okay.
What's your preference here?
I think so. Pip is unused to the charge, okay?
Sure.
That's not really what I do. And I'm unused to putting myself in harm's way this directly. And so I think pumped full of adrenaline, I'm just going to keep charging,
all right,
you know what I mean?
So do you want to double move and then forego an attack? If you double move, you'll actually... The crawling ones might get an attack of up, but the flying ones will actually be then behind you.
That's funny. But I know an attack of up could just kill me.
You're pretty weak.
I'm so weak. No, I won't double move. I'll move my full movement, and then I'll try and plug two of the ones on the ground.
All right. You fire at one. Oh, what sort of energy are you using?
Oh, God. Why don't I have fucking
Father Lemic is a god of winter.
Yeah.
You would assume
fire
cold
seems,
is... Yeah, fire seems
fire
a better
seems
option.
Fire like the smart move, so yeah. I'll go fire.
All right.
Crank, thunk. Don't.
You are your first attack is a hit, and you're clever to make it a fire shot as well.
Good.
You see, you don't get the impression that you're doing double damage. Mm-hmm. You get the impression that you're allowed to do damage because you're doing fire damage.
Good stuff.
The one that you shot is bloodied.
Okay. Hey, that's good.
Do you want to switch to a new target or fire at the same again?
I'll fire at the same again. Let's get rid of him. Let's remove
your
him
from second
the fight.
Shot also hits, and yeah, you do enough. You down one of the crawling ones.
Okay, that's good. Fire, I say. Fire. Fire's good. Hit them with fire if you hadn't figured that out already.
Didn't need to tell me twice.
Yeah, sorry. Don't mean to be patronizing.
He wasn't. It was more just like a, you know... I'm doing Avengers, you know?
we're quipping.
On your left. the one that you plug twice, as it dies, the flames burn all across its amorphous skin, which seems to... You watch as fractally within these creatures, more like tiny flying ones begin popping out, tiny crawling ones begin popping out, and then of those ones, even smaller and smaller.
Is it the kind of thing where I get, like, looking at it for too long makes me dizzy and I have to kind of just look away?
Dizzy is maybe not the right word. Looking at it for too long might literally drive you mad.
Okay. I try not to look at it.
As this entity is consumed in flames, you watch as it thrashes about and dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's very... Obviously, Pip has never seen John Carpenter's The Thing,
but
it is very reminiscent of killing The Thing.
Okay.
The creature, you watch as it rapidly shifts between a bunch of different forms until finally it settles on a human god who you realize is wearing the uniform of a member of the Valakai militia.
Oh.
And then it falls forwards, dying.
Well, that's probably for the best.
You think you know where the Burgomaster is right now?
Yeah, okay. Okay, cool beans.
All right, it is your allies' turn. Erwin fires his crossbow, but is unable to deal damage to these creatures. And Erwin realizes it at the same time as everyone else. Fuck.
Yeah.
He says.
Okay.
Keening, meanwhile, he... gestures once with his hand, and a handle appears in his hand.
Whoa,
he gives
cool.
it like a throw through the... He whips it through the air, and you hear a crack as a fiery whip appears in his hand. He lashes it round one of the flying ones. You hear him, over the din of combat, you hear him call out, "Whoa, girl!" And he starts drawing it in with the burning whip.
I love that, man.
All right. He does not kill one of the flying ones, but he is grappling it and dealing damage to it. Iona casts Firebolt and tries to smite one of the flying ones. She misses. She whiffs it. A ball of flames goes nowhere. Elainiel does a very similar thing to you, Pip.
Yeah.
You watch. She whispers she whispers some sort of song or melody to her arrows. Mm-hmm. And as soon as they are released from her bow, they catch fire.
Fuck yeah.
She plugs two flying ones, and I think she's going to immediately kill them both.
Hell yes.
Elainiel, with quick and rapid precision, kills two flying entities. You see she's standing, her and Iona are standing kind of like back to back, side to side. You can see that they're whispering words of encouragement to each other as well. Cribbit.
Oh, yeah.
Cribbit, you feel
Every time I see Cribbit in combat, I'm like, you shouldn't be here, man. Go home.
Duck for cover, man. Yeah, just observe from the sideline. What are you doing? Pip,
you feel a shard of ice slip into your heart as something grapples you from behind. You realize, then you hear, "No worries, my friend." Cribbit places one of his hands. He's like up. He's got his little legs wrapped around your chest, and he's got one arm on one of your shoulders. His other arm wraps around your other shoulder and touches your heart. You have a heart attack.
Cribbit, no.
Classic.
I will end your suffering.
Cribbit has been working for Velen all along.
No, he bolsters you, Pip. Pip, first off, you can add a D10 to any D20 roll the next hour, I believe. Mm-hmm. Or 10 minutes. I think it's 10 minutes, actually. And then he also... you feel as the world... It doesn't slow down enough for a haste spell, but you see everything perceptibly start to move a little bit slower.
Cool.
And you realize you're moving at your normal speed. You have advantage on all your attacks.
Oh,
now.
Hell yeah. Thank you, Cribbit.
Tiny, that huge coleoptera, the beetle man, sprints past you at a rapid rate and grabs one of the crawling ones and uses it to batter a second
Hell
crawling
yes,
one.
Tiny.
He smites one of the crawling ones.
That rocks. Tiny's cool. It's also really funny because I'm like, aren't you a cleric or a paladin or something? He's doing barbarian moves. What a
He's
baller.
He's none of the things that you've mentioned.
What the hell?
You hear a caw as Muriel turns into a bird and takes flight. She's got some future plan. A Gogash, standing next to you with his greatsword in hand, says,
I shall defend you until your last moments from now.
It's just not, whatever.
He swings his sword. You see a Gogash he does not overcome the damage resistances of these creatures, but he deals so much damage, 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,
Jesus Christ.
55. He kills one of them just through sheer bludgeoning force.
That's crazy.
Okay. Powerful boy.
He's a powerful boy. And Mark Quillett realizes he's kind of as useless as Irwin. Yeah.
Okay.
And then it is Father Limick's turn. Father Limick drags himself closer. Two more rounds and he'll be here.
Okay.
And then it's your enemy's turn.
This is what I was afraid of.